Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. And at this time, the broadcast, I'd like to go ahead and take your comments and questions. If you have a comment about today's broadcast or a question regarding the subject content or any biblical topic, feel free to call in 417-683-3575 and or toll free 866-435-4924. Easy way to remember the toll free number is 866 the number 4 and then Eliyah, E-L-I-Y-A-H. And of course our Skype ID also is Eliyah.com. And just above the center of the video screen, you'll see a direct link to Skype. And you click that link. If you have your Skype open, it'll take you right here into the studio. And also, just above the left-hand side of the video screen, you will see a link there to submit through the internet, through the web, a comment or a question. You can choose to do so anonymously if you like. And we will address that here live on the broadcast. If you click that link, it will not interrupt the broadcast. A little pop-up window will come up, and we will address it live here today. So, looks like quite a few have come through already. So, Anonymous says, what does it mean for Messiah to rule with a rod of iron? Psalm chapter 2, verse 9, Revelation 2:27. An interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's statue dream indicates iron may be describing violence and harshness. Yes, it will be a very strict rule. Very strict. And I think one of the reasons is, you know, the devil's not going to be around to tempt people. You know, people are just of their own will and volition doing wickedness. The devil's going to be in the lake, in the bottomless pit. And so when people are driven wickedness, it's not because the devil, you know, had tempted them to do something wrong. And so they just decided to do it and got drawn away by whatever they wanted. And second reason is Yahshua was sitting right there in Yerushalayim. I mean, you're not going to wonder, is there really an Elohim? You know, Yahweh's power is going to be evident. And we, who will be there reigning with Yahshua for 1,000 years, will be spirit beings capable of becoming flesh as Yahshua did when he appeared to his disciples. And so, you know, when, you know, I think that we might be that little voice behind you, it says there in Isaiah, saying, walk this way, the right way, that we will be among those who are ruling. And so it'll be a very strict rule. And, you know, because there's a greater level of knowledge available, and too much is given, much is required, and there's not Satan and the devil, you know, tempting people right and left. So there's a lot of good reasons for that. Anonymous says, how do you suggest getting rid of paper that has Yahweh and Yahshua's name written on it? How is this done in a respectful and honorable way? Some believe that it's disrespectful to throw a piece of paper that has Yahweh and Yahshua's name in the trash. I don't personally hold that view, but those who do, I think the Jews have that view, and so they bury it. So that's an option for you if you have that conviction. All right, and Anonymous says, the opening prayer today from Elder Abia was very powerful and encouraging to my heart. Thank you. I also have received healing and deliverance from Yahweh through his words spoken in the health teachings you gave. I continue to benefit from this ministry. Thank you, Yahweh. Bless you. We love you. Hallelujah. All praise and glory and esteem to Yahweh, our mighty one, and whoever you are, love you too. And James from Canada says, thank you. I need to listen to this message. I think we all did, including me. So Adonis says, what if someone does or says something that hurts your children and you say, what they did is not right, but to leave it alone and Yahweh will defend them. But you point out that what they did goes against Yahweh to show your children why it isn't right. Are you slandering? Well, if you're saying to them that was wrong behavior, and you're being accurate in your judgments, there's nothing wrong with reproof, as long as there's proof, and nothing wrong with correction, as long as there's correct. It's correct. And we also need to be spiritual in the way we correct as well, right? So keep those things in mind. Anonymous says, if your older children have friends that are very worldly, and you point out what these friends do, is that bad? And you don't think they are good company, is it not okay? We'll ask, what's their testimony? Are they believers? Okay, if they're not believers, then, what does Scripture say about being unequally yoked with unbelievers? If you witness someone who's not a believer doing something wrong, there is exceptions in Scripture in those particular instances. I actually got a full study on this topic where I address this. It's the Leviticus 19:18 Precepts and Principles of the Torah. You can watch that study. It's on the archives page. It was given in 2015. Again, Precepts and Principles of the Torah. And it's on the archives page. The archives page is here. Click that link at the very top of Eliyahu.com. And you're going to scroll down to 2015. And it was given in a month commonly called February. And here we are, Leviticus 19:16, actually. And then right after that, Precepts and Principles in Giving and Receiving Correction. And then Righteous Indignation versus Unrighteous Vengeance, right? And then Anger at Home among Believers, and then Help for Overcoming Anger. And so there's some scripture, some studies that go into greater depth in these specific areas you may find helpful. So and Anonymous says, I don't understand James 4:11. How is judging a brother judging the law? I did explain that, when Yahshua is in us, right? Yahshua is in us. It's no longer we live, it's Yahshua living in us. He is the Word that became flesh that dwelt among us, according to John 1:14. So, pardon me just a minute. And so, He is the Word that's in us, and so when someone's judging us, we who are forgiven, they're judging, Yahshua said, you've done it to the least of these, my brother, you've done it unto me, judging the law, and if we're not being a doer of the law, when we're being judgmental toward a believer. Judgmental in the sense of, speaking evil of and condemning and so on. So, it's all interconnected. And James from Roanoke, Virginia, greetings, brother. Enjoyed your message. Greatly appreciate it. It's definitely a topic I think just about everyone in the body of Messiah needs to heed to one degree or another. I have a question I'm hoping you can help answer. I've been trying to figure out our birthdays according to Yahweh's calendar. This is only for informational purposes, not celebratory. I believe I have them figured out except for my wife's, although I have the day of Yahweh's month. I'm unsure of the month because the start is somewhat similar to this year's start. My question is, do you know when the barley was seen in sufficient enough quantity for Aviv to in the year that the world would call 1986, or at least somewhere I could obtain barley reports in the land of Israel? I don't know of anywhere. You might try Yahweh's Assembly of Messiah out of Roachport. They may have a report there. I don't know. All right, we do have a caller calling in. Can I have your name and where you're calling from?
Ramona Mann, Rio Rancho, New Mexico.
Oh, Shabbat Shalom, sister. How are you doing?
Shabbat Shalom. Today I'm having a good day. Praise Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
I have a question. I am having some periodically problems where I do not remember, and I've been told by my physician that there isn't a lot can be done about it because of my diagnosis. And my son, she's is coming to live with me, and I think that I'm a bit worried about it because he, at one time he didn't have a job and he lived on the street and he almost died and he lost so much weight and almost died. And he has a job now where he works on the Sabbath. He is a believer, he says. And I think he is afraid to be without a job. And he is willing to come to live with me. The thing that is bothering me is that he will be working on the Sabbath. So he's been on the job for 2 years. And he says that eventually when his turn comes, he will have the Sabbath off. So what is your thinking on that?
Well, I don't think that you would be in sin by having him live with you if he's breaking the Sabbath. You know, he would be for breaking the Sabbath, but, you know, unless he was working, you know, within your gates, in other words, within your territory, your personal home, you would not be responsible for his actions that he would do outside your home. So...
All right.
You wouldn't be at fault in any way.
Thank you so very much.
Well, you're welcome. And I think that, you know, maybe his, you know, interaction with you, and if he would get some teachings on the blessing of the Sabbath observance, maybe he'll come around. Never know.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I'm so glad I found you. Thank you very much.
Praise Yahweh. Y'all be with you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Shalom. And Father, in Yahshua's name, we pray for her son, that she be able to speak to him in a way that he will receive it, and something would happen, and he would come to the blessing of your holy days. Hallelujah. All right. And as far as the barley reports, I don't know if these groups, Yahweh's Assembly and Messiah in Roachport, might have a record or not. I'm not sure. But I know that's one group. Another group is a group out of Bethel, PA. I don't know if they would be willing to share anything or not. But anyway, yeah, it's a little hard because, you know, the world don't follow Yahweh's calendar. All right, Anonymous says, very good study, praise Yahweh. I feel very blessed by this way of teaching. So would people who teach eternal torment be guilty of slandering Yahweh? It must be very humbling to be a teacher of the word. Better remain silent or unsure topics or say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. seriously, I mean, I don't think it's going to be eternal torment. I mean, it does say the wicked would be destroyed. You know, when it says forever and ever, it doesn't necessarily mean, Hebraically speaking, an unending event. It could just be for a long time. In fact, it can even be referring to events in the past, Hebraically, the Olam. So, you know, it depends. So, whatever it is, it's going to be painful, and it won't, you know, there'll be no comfort in the fact it's not forever, I don't think, if it's not forever. So, Anonymous says, what do you think about the teaching of a Wednesday impalement and burial and a seventh-day evening resurrection. I think there'll be a problem when the disciples are on the road to Emmaus, and they're talking to Yahshua unknowingly, and he asked them about why they were sad. They said, today is the third day since these things have happened, talking about the impalement of Messiah. So I don't know how you can get the first day of the week being the third day if you're coming from a day commonly called Wednesday, the fourth day of the week. I can get there from here on the fifth day of the week, impalement. And I can also get it 3 days and three nights in that kind of a situation, but yeah. I can't get it any other way I know of. And Kevin from Wisconsin, and by the way, if you're interested in the topic, I know a brother who's really very informed on this, Brother Bill Hood. Feel free to email me, and we'll be glad to address that. All right. Okay, you're currently live on the broadcast. Can I have your name and where you're calling from?
Yes, my name is Will, and I'm calling from South Florida.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom to you, too. I am calling because I've been listening to your program and also following you online for weeks now. Mm-hmm. And I'm breaking away from the normal way of worship, way of thinking based off what you have been teaching. The thing is, I need to find a Bible, or where can I get a Bible that has all the Hebrew names that, I mean, you use when you, you know.
Okay. Do you have any problems reading the King James Version?
No.
Okay. The website, assemblyofyahweh.com.
Okay, let me just write that down, please.
Yeah, assemblyofyahweh.com. They have a Bible based on King James. It restores the mm-hmm. names to Yahweh. And they use Yahshua, which is one letter different than what I use, but they use Yahshua.
Right.
It's based on King James, so familiarity should be there with you if you're familiar with it. And it's called the Word of Yahweh is the name of the Bible. And again, you can get that at assemblyofyahweh.com.
Okay, so really appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much, and you have been a blessing to me. Believe me when I tell you.
Praise Yahweh. Glad
to sure, to many others, too.
Hallelujah. Well, y'all be with you in your studies, brother. Good to hear from you.
Thank you much, man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good call out of Florida. Hallelujah. Yahweh's opening his eyes. Love to hear the light go on and see the light go on. Kevin from Wisconsin said the Greek word used for carpenter, which Messiah was supposed to be, could also refer to someone who worked with their hands. Based on all subjects of the parables, not one is about woodworking or stonemasonry, but about farming and working with the land and shepherding animals. He spoke about what he did. Of course, he knew or knows all, but spoke about things people knew what he did. How would people take his words for instance, he started talking about human anatomy and biology? That is why I suspect he was on a rural home and not city-dwelling growing up. Okay. Well, his father was a carpenter, I believe, right? That's the story. And the word in the Greek, it's commonly translated carpenter twice there. And it does say here in my lexicon, worker in wood, a craftsman, a plotter. And it's rooted in the word meaning rendering help. So, I don't know. Maybe. I haven't really done any real word studies, but just kind of take a quick glance here and look up the word carpenter in a little bit deeper lexicon manner. Tecton. One involved in construction. A craftsman is what I have. So I'm not sure where you're getting your information, but all the lexicons I have are pointing to the idea of a craftsman or a carpenter. So, but you know, either way, I don't know what we can prove. And he could definitely tell us about human anatomy, I think. Obviously. Being that he, in my opinion, was a, all things were created through him by Yahweh. So, Anonymous says, Shabbat Shalom, just trying to get a clarity on tithes and offerings. So, Deuteronomy 26, the beginning of the chapter, is instruction on offering your first fruits once you are in the land. Then verse 12 says, when you finish laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, have given to the Levites, stranger, fatherless, and widows, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled. What's the difference between an offering and a tithe? What's the meaning between third year? It's specified third year here. I'm going to be producing a whole study on tithing, but just an overview. My understanding currently is that the third year tithe, you know, normally you would take your tithes to the priest. Third year tithes, you would do something locally, or I'm sorry, the other way around. Normally you would just tithe to whatever you see going on, and the third year you would give directly to Jerusalem priesthood. So, I mean, that way they made sure everybody got what they needed. But in the tithe, the offerings would be things in addition to the tithes. So just a free will offering of some kind. So. All right. And Child of Yahweh says, someone's asking, someone had talked to her about, or them, him, about sexual immorality taking place. And then they used to have faith in Yahweh's name, and they walked away from it and realized what they'd done. Is there hope for them? Well, is their heart still beating? The heart's still beating. There's still hope for anybody who wants to turn toward Yahweh and be. There's no mark Yahshua can't erase for one who is willing to repent and put their faith in Him. So, yes, there is hope. Anonymous from Canada says, if the tithing is to go to those in need, where we put the offering that's above the 10% tithe, I don't know that there is a... Well, I mean, you could put the offering wherever Yahweh leads you to put it that way. Could be a ministry, could be a poor person. As Yahweh would lead, as the needs arise, send the tithe to whomever He leads you to send it. One functioning in the Levitical priesthood... of course, that would be necessary if they were actually doing those things. There's no temple available. And so, in the absence of the Levitical priesthood functioning as it should or would, we know Abraham did give tithes to Melchizedek. And so that's another place where tithes can go. And a Melchizedek priesthood, we are. And that goes to any of us. It doesn't have to be a guy behind a microphone, sharing teachings. It can be someone ministering in some capacity where they can go. So, all right. Anonymous says, the testimony about the Cretans was true. Was it another Cretan who gave his testimony about fellow Cretans? I don't know. That we don't have any more details on that. So, Anonymous says, what are your thoughts on self-defense martial arts training? Is there scripture telling us not to learn to protect ourselves? I don't see a problem with you know, having that ability to do that, we need to make sure it's done in a biblical way. Too often, those who have that training are quick to use it when it's not necessary. Wisdom can be a way of avoiding conflict and not being quick to fight somebody or whatever. So there might be other ways to protect yourself besides that. However, martial arts, it does concern me. I mean, there are elements in that that are very pagan. And so, you know, definitely do your diligence in making sure you're not picking up any of the spiritual components that are commonly taught in those areas. So, Anonymous says, I watched the Unity Conference, found the talk on health very informative. Very good to see many assemblies coming together as one body of Messiah. Do the assemblies work together often? They do. I mean, those assemblies, the one in Roachport, another one in Illinois, another one in a couple others in Missouri, and one in Texas, you know, they kind of work together quite a lot. So, and Anonymous says, hallelujah for this teaching. As a wife of someone who's been wrongly accused, I can testify that living in the aftermath is not easy or pleasant. Some moments feel like having an axe hanging over your head, never knowing when someone's going to bring up things that you don't want brought up based on that person's viewpoint of your situation. Trying to keep the lies from reaching our children is a real thing. Never knowing if you go into a group of people whether or not they prejudge you or have things they privately hold against you keeps you isolated. Not being able to go into a local group because of what's spread on the internet or word of mouth from what they've read on the internet keeps you isolated. Watching your loved one be falsely accused is not something I would want for anyone. And truly saying I forgive you to people who've never even come to you and asked is difficult, because only Yahweh can honor it. Moving on isn't something easily done. But through Yahweh's love, it takes one step at a time. Take courage, friends. Life is possible after the slander, and bitterness does not have to happen. Shalom. I enjoyed that. Thank you for sharing. And I take confidence in knowing that this life is all temporary, you know, what people think and say and do or whatever. As I like to say, trillions of years into eternity, who's going to care what them people thought, you know? You just live your life and keep your nose to the book, right? And in prayer. Anonymous says, is gematria a type of sorcery, a Kabbalistic method of interpreting Hebrew scriptures by computing numerical value of words based on their constituent letters? I don't know if it's sorcery, but it's certainly not, in my opinion, Yahweh's way of teaching us. Highly subjective, highly subject to interpretation, and you can pretty much come up with what you want on that if you really wanted to do it, you could. I mean, so. Anonymous scene, does it mean I failed and that's why I never got a Hebrew book? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know who you are, so. If you email me, I'll let you know whether you did or not. If I missed you, I'm sorry. If you think you did well, I'm sorry it wasn't intentional. I got Hebrew books in my office, ready to be sent out in case I did miss anybody. So, talking about the Hebrew class we did at the Feast of Tabernacles last year. So, Anonymous says, how do we handle it? I can tell you this, dozens went out. I mean, dozens of Hebrew books went out. So, how do we handle it if a brother is continually making the very serious charge that the poor transliteration Jesus comes from Zeus? When I point out the Septuagint for Joshua is the same as how the King James calls Elijah from the Greek Elias in Isaiah, Isaias, They respond that those come from the demon god Helios or some other idol, etc., etc. How do I deal with this? I mean, you can only try to show them what you found and what you've discovered, and, you know, if they say they've got proof, then read their proof, and if it's not proof, then try to show them why it's not proof, and if they can't seem to agree with you, then, I mean, that's all you can do. So, what else can you do? So, you know, we can only share our personal understandings, and Yahweh has to take it from there. You know, and we don't have to, you know, suggest that the name Jesus comes from Zeus in order to say, you know, we should not be, we should call him by what he calls himself. You know, if I call someone Bill and their name was John, I mean, come on, why continue to call him Bill when you know his name is John? So, you know his name's not really Jesus, then why do you continue in error once you know it's not his name? And that's my point. So, Jamie from Canada says, when it comes to rebuking someone in regards to tail-bearing, what do we do when that person's an unbeliever? Judgment begins in the house of Yahweh, but Yahweh judges those who are outside. My question is, what do we do? There's not much you can do, really. You can say, well, I try not to. For myself, I try not to talk about people. You know. Let that be a light. And I'd rather not talk about that person. You know, they probably wouldn't like that we're talking about him. And just be a light. You don't have to, you know, say, you're wrong, you know. You need to stop when this... You are sure they will receive it. Someone says, I struggle most at work with the evil tongue. Oh, boy, I know. You know, find this, office politics or even construction crew politics or, you know, work politics. You know, people, everyone's vying for power and for position. Highly competitive environments are very common to see the evil tongue. Or where the management is not being righteous and just in their managing of the company. You know, I once knew a relative, you know, he got a job with the big city. And he was telling us when he got back home from work, he said, man, this is a great job. And these people are just running it down to the ground and just complaining and whining and moaning. This is a fantastic job. And they're complaining about it. And, you know, 6 months later, he was doing the same thing. Because you get caught up in that, you know. And, you know, I've seen, you know, environments, work environments, where, you know, there will be people talking bad about someone. But then there'll be like a Christian guy over in the corner, and he's just kind of keeping his mouth shut. And me and him, we look at each other and just kind of, with a knowing glance. You know, we don't do that. But you're going to find that, you know. So you got to be willing to be that light and to not participate and say, you know, I'm just going to pray for that person. You know, if they're doing that, then they need my prayers. So, and someone says, my boss was saying slandering things about me to a fellow coworker who told me about the slandering things, and another co-worker who acted strange toward me. How do I respond to both co-workers and not sin, but in my response be true and humble, fearing not to slander my boss? I feel my character was damaged and beyond repair. Well, one thing to remember is they can't touch your character. They can't. They can only touch your reputation. So, your reputation may have been damaged, your name may have been damaged, but your character was not, unless you allow that word to cause you to be out of character, out of Messiah's character. And, but to answer your question, all you gotta, I mean, I don't know the exact situation, okay? But you might say, I've just heard the words going around that I'm this, I just want to let you know that's not true about me. I don't know all of, you know, wherever it's coming from. I'm just saying that that never did happen. You know, I was this, I was doing this, and that never happened. So I'm just letting you know, I want to set the record straight that, you know, whatever's going around about me on this is not really true. And here's why. And if you can provide evidence or proof or whatever, then that's better. You say, you know, I've got my problems, I've got my issues. No one, not one of us here is perfect, but thankfully, my Father in Heaven, this is not one of them. So, and take it from there. Anonymous says, what types of employment do Torah observant people usually find? Seems very difficult to find many employers who are understanding. You know, even in trades and things where you think it'd be impossible for one to take the Sabbath off, it can happen. I was a, in the 90s, almost all of the 90s, I was a HVAC repairman and also worked on commercial rooftop systems and stuff where, you know, if a freezer goes down at a restaurant and it's on a Shabbat, they're going to call you. And so, but through all those years that I worked, I never did have to violate Shabbat. So Yahweh provided ways for it to happen. Now, one job I took, I told the owner of the company that, you know, I would only go out if some old lady was freezing to death or some emergency situation, and in that case, I would fix their furnace for free, you know. And he's like, okay, but then he kept sending me on these calls that were really not emergencies. And so I would take the money and throw it in the garbage. And I told my wife, just throw it away. You know, throw it in the dumpster. I don't want the money. And well, anyway, he kept sending, and finally I just told him, I'm not going to work on that day anymore, you know, on the Sabbath. And he says, well, your last day will be Friday, was his exact words. I said, okay. And that day come around, he says, well, I'm going to need you next week. I've got this going on, that going on. Another week went by, I'm going to need you next week. I'm going to need you next week. And finally, 3 months went by. And would you believe that he was putting ads in the paper, offering people twice the money I was making almost, and no one was answering the ad. Yahweh just put his hand of protection, I don't know what it was, but he couldn't find anybody. So I actually got bold, and I knew my days were numbered, so I told him, I said, do you mind if I take a couple of days off next week and look for another job? He goes, oh, all right, yeah, I guess, I mean, whatever. Okay, so that I went to look for a job, and it wasn't even 6 hours, I got another job. And I didn't have that issue where they wanted me to be on call on that day. So it was rare. I mean, it was rare. But Yahweh opened the doors. So even in a field where it is rare, he can open up the doors. And so, you know, I put my 2-week notice in and then handed my truck keys. And he says, well, Tom, I guess you can find another job where you don't have to work on Sabbath quicker than I can find another good technician. And that was it. You know. So, Yahweh. It was Yahweh. I mean, explain that one in the natural realm. Not explainable. So, Yahweh, in these, you know, whatever field that you have skills in, he can work in spite of that. And in fact, he can even bless you. And in fact, the job I took offered more money than the one I had before. So I got blessed. Other people I know who, you know, I know one guy who was working for the post office, and the postmaster was understanding and let him have a Sabbath off. And then one day, a new postmaster came in, and they didn't like him taking that day off, and they fired him. So, you know, whatever. But he's still surviving. He's still working. Just not the post office. So. All right. Mark from Nashville says, when Yahshua returns, what form will he take? What will he look like? Will it be the form of the Gospels? Will it be the form of Revelation or another? What for will those that rise to meet him in the air have when they come down to the earth to rule and reign with him? I don't know. I mean, I would only be guessing what he's going to look like. But it does say they'll look upon him whom they pierced, and they'll know. And they'll mourn. So something is going to be happening there. I don't know if it's spiritually discerned or what it is, but I won't pretend to know when I don't have enough scripture to back me up. So, Laura from Las Cabas, Baja, Mexico. Shabbat Shalom. Recently, there are new managers where I work. Had an offer from my husband's boss, which is in the sales area where we both work. I decided not to move, but my husband wanted me to take the offer. And I changed my mind for obeying my husband. He is loving and cares a lot for me. Is this okay to change my decision to obey my husband? I think he sees something I'm missing, and he's looking out for the best for me. Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's always right and okay. You know, it's like the situation where Yahshua gave a parable one time, and there were two men, and the boss told him to do something, and he said, one said, "I go, sir," and then he didn't do it. And there was another one that said, "I will not go, sir," and then afterward changed his mind and he did it. Which one was justified? The one who changed his mind and decided to go ahead and do the right thing. So, yes, absolutely good for you to appreciate and submit to your husband. So, I'm glad he's a loving husband. Chad from Sulphur Springs, Texas. Great teaching day, all praise to Yahweh. I had a question about beauty and band in Zechariah. I believe those are the rod and staff of the Father. I believe the beauty was Messiah. I was wondering if you had any thoughts on this and who the bands would be. I don't know. Those are the kind of things that is not my strong suit, and I'll leave it to those who have that area of expertise. I'm still working all that stuff out. So, Freeman says, "You've done it again, Tom, for convicted me. I'm guilty." Thank Yahweh. Okay. Yahweh did it again. And praise Yahweh. It's his word that does it. I'm just a delivery boy. I'm just a mailman. So, David Marsh from Crumpler, North Carolina. Because of an obvious health issue in my preteen years, I was bullied by older classmates. Reflecting over the years, bullying had a similar effect to my esteem as slander has had to my character. My initial negative reactions have, through the years, given way to the better responses of forgiveness and prayer, along with a measure of humility. Thank you for timing the message. Hallelujah. I love to hear it when Yahweh makes changes in our life. Praise Yahweh. Anonymous says, "My family and I used to sponsor several children through World Vision. Can this be a form of tithing? Or no, because they do not teach the true names or follow all the commandments. Is there a similar organization you are aware of?" Yes, I am aware of. Reach for Yahweh Ministries. And they are Torah observant. And they have an orphanage. And it's the real deal. And so look for .org, I believe. Yes, reachforyahweh.org. And it is the real deal. I know the people involved. And they go over to the orphanage and check it out, make sure everything's going the way it should. So, Confused says, "How do you know what they are referring to in Luke 24:21? Back up with scriptures, please." All right, Luke 24:21. Well, that's the context. It says, Luke 24:18, and the one whose name was Cleopas answered, let's see, talking to Yahshua, saying, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which happened here, there in these days? He said to them, what things? And so they said to him, the things concerning Yahshua of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before Elohim and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. So those are the events he's talking about, right? But we were hoping it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things have happened. So what things? That the chief priests and rulers condemned him to death and crucified him. So it'd have to be the third day since the resurrection. Can't get that when you go to a fourth day of the week crucifixion, I don't think. All right. Kathy from Tarpon Springs, Florida. Is it wrong to warn a brother or sister about prosperity teachers who are Hebrew Roots teachers who say we should hate the sinner, quoting scriptures that says Yahweh does? I believe it's okay to say, I disagree with this teaching, and here's why. That's not slander. That's, you know, he expressed his opinion. You can say, I disagree with Tom Martinsic and his teaching on this topic, and that's not slander. I expressed my opinion. And you're expressing your opinion. That's not slander. It would be slander if you said, you know, Tom Martinsic is the worst man since Adolf Hitler. That would be slander. Because he has this teaching on this or whatever. Then that would be slanderous. But to say I disagree with Tom Martinsic because of this, or I'm not a Hebrew Roots teacher that says we should be prosperity people. I'm just saying, you know. It's okay to express disagreement. It's okay to share why you disagree. That's not Lashon Hara. That's not, you know, that's two people having their own opinion. And, you know, Paul and Barnabas, you know, they had a dispute over whether to take John Mark. Well, were they slandering each other? No, they just disagreed and decided to separate. And that ended up being Yahweh's will anyway. So, it's okay to disagree. And so, Anonymous says, Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Good verse. I think you're probably responding to the physical self-defense and whatnot. So, and that's what I mean. We need to use that kind of wisdom. But I tell you right now, if someone rushed at my daughter to harm her, I would be in their face with a fist. I mean, I would do what I can to stop them, put it that way. So we're called to protect as men. Protect and provide and so on. Ephesians 6:12. So Lori B. from Humansville, Missouri says, what are the seven spirits of Yahweh? Praying blessings for you and your family, dear friend. Praise Yahweh. I appreciate the blessings. I'll take all I can get. Looking at the seven spirits of Yahweh, it might be the ones spoken of in Isaiah Chapter 11, talking about the full, you know, the fullness of Yahweh's Spirit dwelt in Messiah. It says the, you know, seven attributes, seven spirits. 11:2, the Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him. Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear of Yahweh. It happens to be seven. So that might be it. Isaiah 11:2. All right, and Anonymous says, how can Messiah be a sacrifice when Torah says no human sacrifices? Yeah, you cannot take a person and put them on an altar and burn them on the altar. That's not permitted in Scripture. That's what it's talking about. But for Yahweh to take the death of a person and cause our iniquity to be laid on him and him to bear that, that one being an innocent man without blemish, no other humans without blemish but Yahshua. And so, and him being willingly offering of himself to be that for us is a fulfillment of prophecy. It's a fulfillment of all the sacrifices. It's a, you know, it's what those things were pointing to. And it's a fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah 53, verse 10, which says, you make his soul an offering for sin. Right? So, an asham in Hebrew, offering for sin. And yes, there is a new moon gathering and broadcast tonight, is the plan. And so we're going to be looking for the new moon tonight and be entering our 12th month of Yahweh's calendar. And I know we're looking at either the 28th or the 29th. So I believe parts of the country will definitely see the new moon. I don't know if where I happen to live, we will see the new moon, but we do plan to look. After sundown, we're planning to take a trip and go take and see if we can spot the new moon in a ideal location where we have a good view of the south. And we'll bring camera equipment and so on and see if we can spot the new moon. And the new moon broadcast will be at 8:30 Eastern tonight. 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 Central, and so forth. So, tune in, and love to have you. And we'll go over the 12th month of Yahweh's calendar and the events thereof. Anonymous says, wasn't the sealing of the tomb the last thing that happened? Wasn't that on a so-called Thursday, making Wednesday the burial? Does a Wednesday death and burial mirror the being cut off in the middle of the week? 7 years by half is 3.5. Wednesday is half of the 7-day week. What I read was chief priest delivered him up to death. Doesn't say that the tomb was sealed on that day. Just, you know, talks about these other things and being condemned and crucified. Doesn't talk about a sealing of the tomb happening. This is the third day, so don't think I would buy that one. Okay, reachforyahweh.org. Someone posted that on here. Kathy Lundy says, I don't disagree with anything Tom Martinsic said. That's why I come here every week, my dear brother. Well, you've got to be something. I mean, I'm not perfect, and I don't claim to be. And I don't mind. This is why I love this interaction, this post. You know, the people disagree with me on the crucifixion date or whatever. It's okay. You're free to disagree and express it. That's why we have the comments and questions, and I sit in the hot seat after the meeting. So, you know, my goal is that really we would all benefit from each other's comments. And you know, the 1 Corinthians 14 assembly method was, if anyone has a psalm, a word, you know, a teaching, you know, to kind of open the floor for that. So that's why we do the songs at the beginning and the music and encourage people to call in with a psalm or a song. And then after the message to open the floor for other people to share their thoughts as well. So, and I strongly am against fighting and strife and arguing. I'm strongly a proponent, I'm strongly for reasoning together and coming to a mutually agreeable understanding that is in line with the word of Yahweh. So, all right. Okay. Looks like that is the final comment of the day. So we'll wrap that up. And if you have a prayer request, just above the right-hand side of the video screen, you can actually submit a prayer request there. Click that link. And we just had a sonic boom, I think. click that link. And then a pop-up window will come up, and then you can submit your prayer request anonymously if you choose, or mention your name. Either way is fine with me. If you choose to be anonymous, please let me know whether you're male or female, so I use the correct pronouns if needed during the prayer. So it's currently 3:55 p.m. Eastern Time, as we near the four-hour mark here. And so if you happen to submit a comment after that, we missed it. So, all right. We got one more final comment here from Chad in Sulphur Springs. It says, I believe children of Yah should come with warning labels. I've personally seen tragedy come upon those who false witness against his children. All we can do is pray for those who do that. He was serious when he said, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And it turns out we do have a phone call coming in. All right, can I have your name and where you're calling from? You're currently live on the broadcast.
This is for Hadley Alvarez, and she has her memory verse ready.
Well, I wondered if someone was going to do the memory verse this week. So, okay, I'm ready when you are.
Okay, just a minute. Here's Hadley. I'm going to pause the live one and then so we're not hearing both. Okay.
All right.
All right, Hadley's ready.
Okay.
It's Galatians 5:22-20. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law.
Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Just missed one, I think, was faithfulness. I don't know if your translation had that or not, but excellent, excellent job. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you. Okay. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
Okay. Hallelujah. Thanks for calling in and sharing. Appreciate it very much.
All right.
Shalom, shalom. Hallelujah. Shalom.